This message is presented to you by Pastor Cliff Reynolds and Word Alive Church in Elwood City, PA. For more information, visit wordalivechurch.info.
The Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Do you have a dream in your heart today? Do you have a vision? Do you have something that gets you up in the night? Something that wakes you in the morning? Something that's on your mind when you go to sleep? Something that impassions you? A dream? Well, it says, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. When your dream returns, your joy will return. I said, when your dream returns, your joy will return. I'm going to try that over here. When your dream returns, your joy will return. What is your dream? Maybe it has something to do with a job promotion. Or maybe it has something to do with a loved one. Or you want to see a child get off of drugs or get their life turned around. Or maybe your dream is to win souls. Maybe your dream is to have another house. Maybe your dream is to just be a blessing wherever you go. But when your dream returns, your joy returns. And so our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. And then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. And the heathen, the unsaved people are going to look and say, look what God's doing in that person's life. And they're going to rejoice. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. Maybe you've let your dream slip. God will give you your dream back. If you ask Him, He'll inspire you. He'll inspire you by His Word. He'll inspire you by the Holy Spirit and give your dream back to you. Or give you a new one. Give you a fresh dream that will comply with the season that we're in right now. A dream that's in season, right? He goes on to say, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You spend your time in prayer with God, one-on-one, in that intimacy, what's going to happen? You're going to return with joy in your heart. There's going to be a reaping. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. What's he going to do? Bringing his sheaves with him. Bringing his sheaves. Sheaves of wheat to represent harvest of souls. Is that part of your dream? You know, after the master was raised from the dead, the disciples had their joy return. Why? Because their dream returned. Their dream that Jesus had been casting visions constantly with them. It had returned. Their hope had returned. But you see, the same thing happens to us. When our dream returns, our joy returns. And it's the same, if it has something to do with souls, I mean, that's what makes God, that's what cranks God's tractor, isn't it? Amen. When you're talking about souls, amen. So it could have included then the pursuit of a harvest. So what is your dream? Retirement security? Maybe you have a bucket list. Maybe you want to see somebody out of prison or come back to the Lord. Or maybe your dream is a fishing boat or a hunting cabin. Who knows? But if you want a dream, get on board with Jesus and He'll inspire you and give you a dream. And if you don't have one, get on board with this vision in this church. Amen. Operation Saturation. We're going to saturate this locale with the Word of God. Saturate this region with the Word. We want to see a spring harvest, right? We want to see the transformation of lives. And for this to be a spiritual hospital with missions outreach and soul-winning endeavors. So maybe you've dropped your dream. But I'll tell you, when God gives you a dream, your joy will return. Amen. Let's take a look at Mark, the 16th chapter. We see Jesus cast vision for his dream. Just prior to going to heaven in the ascension, Mark, the 16th chapter in verse 2, Mark 16, beginning with verse 2, it says, "And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, and he had seen her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11. Now, this is the 11 that's left, right? Because, after all, Judas betrayed him. So, they have one less than 12 now. And so, the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he had risen. And he said unto them, now here he's going to cast vision. Here is Jesus' dream, his vision. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Good scripture, get water baptized by, right? He that believeth. Incidentally, that's why we don't baptize babies, because they can't believe. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So you got to wait till they get to an age where they can at least believe. All right? We do dedicate babies, by the way, though, according to 1 Samuel chapter 1. So, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after that, the Lord had spoken unto them. He was received up into heaven, ascended to heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, their Lord working with them and confirming his word with signs following. Turn over to Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28. In verse 16. Matthew 28, 16. Well, let's shorten this up a bit. Verse 17, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. So there it is, the Great Commission. That's his dream. That's his vision, isn't it? Now, I'm not talking about a dream that you would have at night. You know, sometimes we have dreams, and yeah, I guess God can speak to us, but, you know, the other night I had a stupid dream that I was looking in on a board meeting of a pastor friend of mine at his church, and all of a sudden, the pastor got up and started singing, bomp, bump, 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 rang a dang, dang, a ding, a dong, ding, blue moon. And I thought, what is this? And then his administrator got up and both of them started to dance and singing Blue Moon. Now, what spiritual meaning does that have? Absolutely nothing. Just a goofy dream, all right? I'm not talking about those kind of dreams, right? No, I'm talking about the kind of dream that the people, the children of Israel, had when they were in bondage in Egypt and they were crying out to God to be set free, and God heard them, and he brought them out, the Bible says, with a strong hand and with great gladness. Over there in Psalm 105, verse 43, it says, they were with great joy and with great gladness, he brought them out. Praise God. Now, show that picture back there of those gentlemen, Tiger Woods and so forth, because these people, each one had a dream. And, you know, there were people that have been wanted to be astronauts as kids, and they grew up and became an astronaut. Here's Tiger Woods. He learned to play golf as a young boy and had a dream to become a world-renowned golfer, and that happened. And here's Chuck Yeager, who in 1947 broke the sound barrier in his X-1 rocket. And there's his rocket right there. There he is, he's a little, looking a little younger. But he had a dream to be the guy that breaks the sound barrier. And he did it. Another one. This is Tommy Barnett. He had a dream to build what's called a dream center, which is a huge building that houses destitute people, homeless people in California. There it is right there. And God fulfilled that dream, but it was a God-given, God-inspired dream by the Holy Spirit, you see. And this, when your dream is inspired by God, you can take it to the bank. It will work. You don't need to fear. You know, a lot of people don't want to dream because they're afraid. Well, if I have a dream, I'll be disappointed someday. No, but when God gives you the dream, you can take it to the bank. It will not fail. It'll be blessed. Hallelujah. You won't have to ask God, bless my dream, Lord. It'll already be blessed. Hallelujah. So let God revitalize your dream or give you a brand new one. Helen Keller said this. She said, now remember, she was blind. And somebody asked her one time, what would be worse than being blind? And Helen Keller said, seeing but having no vision for life. Seeing but having no vision for life. Proverbs 29:18, the Bible tells us that without a vision, notice Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Well, one translation says in the Berkeley that they would, where there's no vision, the people run wild. They're lawless and out of control. And I think that's true. A lot of people you find that are living in deep sin or something, you know, they have no vision for their life. They don't have anything to anchor their focus. And so their mind is undisciplined and it goes here, there, and everywhere. And they've succumbed to temptation, to sin. And they're lawless and out of control. How many know we all need a vision? We all need some goals. We all need a dream. And it may be something just to be as simple as, no, it's not simple, to be an intercessor, to be a powerful intercessor, someone who's going to be a financier to finance the gospel going around the world. So, but it's all an outgrowth of an intimate relationship with Jesus, spending time with him, being inspired by him. Leonard Gravenhill said, he who is intimate with God will never be intimidated by man. You can dispel the fears of man that would hold you back from implementing your dream by connecting with Jesus. Romans 8:15 says that he has not given us a spirit of bondage again to fear, but a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but he's given you what? Spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Father. What's he talking about? He says you don't have to put up with fear if you have a adoptive, intimate, up-close relationship with Jesus. That'll take care of it. In fact, 2 Timothy 1:7 talks about spirit of fear. And that word fear there is intimidation. It means intimidation. So God has not given you a spirit of intimidation to be intimidated by man so that you can cast off all that and go ahead and implement your dream. You know, Dr. Seuss, how many of you have read Dr. Seuss's books to your children, all right, or grandchildren? Well, did you know his books were initially rejected by 27 publishers? But he refused to give in. And, you know, it's unfortunate today that the woke culture today, the cancel culture, has influenced the removal of children's books from the shelves. His children's books have been removed from the shelves. They've maligned his writings as discriminatory and racial, and it's a bunch of nonsense. It's goofy, all right? But he persevered. You know, Elvis Presley was told one time, you have no musical talent, you have no musical ability, singing ability. You might as well forget it. You might as well go learn to drive a truck, get a CDL and drive a truck. Told that to Elvis Presley. Did you know Walt Disney went bankrupt 7 times before becoming a success? You got to have some endurance, don't you? Amen. Along with your faith. Amen. Through faith and patience, you'll inherit the promise. But we must not allow negative people to dissuade or discourage us regarding our dream or our vision. There will always be someone, a naysayer, or someone who's going to be negative. Say, well, you can't do that, and that's not going to, you know, you can't. And beware of them. Jesus tells us to occupy till he comes. Luke 19:13. Occupy. So, your daily routine, occupy. Now, that could be referring to winning souls as well. But you can incorporate your dream into your daily routine. Amen. And maintain your joy. Amen. Get back to spending time with this friend who sticks closer than a brother. And he'll inspire your dreams and give you the joy that you once had. Amen. The world will inspire you up here in that dream center. All right? It will inspire you to see things that others do not see. That's right. You'll get renewed vision and you'll see things that other people won't see. And see, this is exactly why the devil wants to keep you out of the Word, because he doesn't want you to see things that others don't see. He wants to be able to dominate you and control you. Now, don't let him. Amen. Because your dream will counter his strategies. Go ahead and give yourself permission to dream by the inspiration of God's Word and the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is a genius. You got a genius living inside of you. And we need to be able to see it before it shows up. I said we need to be able to see it before it shows up. Don't you think Thomas Edison saw his inventions before he actually built them? He had drawings. And then he went and constructed it. Westinghouse did the same thing. Over there in Genesis 11:6, in fact, let's look at that, Genesis 11:6. Everybody can find Genesis. It's the first book in the Bible. Genesis 11, I can even find it. Genesis 11:6. Notice what it says concerning the Tower of Babel. Genesis 11:6, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. They had a vision. They had a dream. And they were not going to be denied. But you need to be able to see it in order to bring it to pass. It'd be like building this puzzle. Here, I got a nice puzzle. You got a bunch of pieces in the puzzle. I don't know how many pieces this is. 500-piece puzzle. All right. So everybody see the puzzle? Okay, let's get started. Build this puzzle. I mean, that'd be a little tough, wouldn't it? Without the what? Without the picture. We need the vision. So you need to be able to see it so that you can implement it. Isn't that a nice puzzle? Yeah. Start with the border. That's right. Yeah. So Set aside time to seek God about your dream. Because your dream may even solve a major problem in society, like Jonas Salk did with the polio vaccine. Your dream may have something to do with making a difference in people's lives. And you'll wind up getting paid for solving problems. But be specific about what you want and what you're asking for. One preacher, a bunch of people were at the altar, and this preacher come up and they were praying, you know, and really seeking God. And the preacher said, what are you praying for, may I ask? And he says, nothing in particular. He says, that's what you'll get. Nothing in particular. Isn't that right? So we got to be specific. Well, I'm believing for a mate. Well, how tall would you like her to be? Huh? Or him? Or what she look like? Oh. Be specific. 5'2", eyes are blue. Coochie, 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 coo. Whatever. But be specific. You want retirement? Okay. Be specific. A venue for soul winning. A way to reach the unruly teenagers of today. You need a house. You need a car. Whatever it is. Joyce Meyer says this. She says, people with a sad past need to be able to believe for a bright future. People with a sad past need to be able to believe God for a bright future. Psalm 27:13 says, believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It says, I would have doubted, I would have fainted, I would have given up, I would have lost heart if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that comes right against negative thinking. Sometimes we've been stuck in negative thinking. It's been passed down for generations. And we get a free minute, and the first thing we're going to do is think negatively. But the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you have that propensity toward negative thinking all the time, guess what it's going to produce? Nothing much. We've got to believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen? For that spring harvest. Amen? The Holy Spirit will inspire you. Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision and make it plain. Write it down. Make it plain. Well, that's silly to write it down. No, it's not. Do you know that successful people write down their goals, their visions? And do you know what? Their success increases by 98% when they write it down. Something about writing it down. Well, we're complying with the word, too. So change your routine. Start living your dreams and encourage yourself. Pursue your dreams and begin to see it. Dodie Osteen, when she was sick, dying from metastatic cancer of the liver. That was her diagnosis. They only gave her several weeks to live. She says, I went back and got a picture of myself when I was healthy, and I put it up somewhere where I could see it so that I could look and see what I used to look like. And it helped me. And there were many other things that she did, and meditated the word and prayed and got with God. But that picture helped her with her vision. And she was healed of metastatic cancer of the liver. She's still alive today. That was back in 1981. And she's still alive and kicking today. She never stayed in her pajamas. She always got dressed. That's right. And her children didn't help her. Come on up here.
I know about Dodie.
She knows about Dodie. Hey, interesting, too. Dodie Osteen was interviewed on TV. And the guy said to her, when we were all done with the interview, he says, will you come back when you turn 100 and let us interview you again? She says, I will if you're still here.
That's a positive attitude.
So where were we?
We're talking about Dodie.
Oh, yeah. Her children would not come and help her with her housework.
That's convicting to me, but anyhow.
Tell them about the lady, without mentioning a name, the lady that her husband was in bad shape and you told her to get a picture.
Oh, yeah. I was ministering to a lady, and her husband had been very ill and had a heart condition, and she was concerned about him, and he was in and out of Pittsburgh Hospital. And one night in the church service, somebody called me, and they said, Lindell, come. So-and-so's on the phone. She's really desperate. And so when I was talking to her, this came to mind to me. I said, get a picture, because he was, you know, had all kind of tubes and stuff in him. I says, get a picture of him happy and healthy. So she got this beach picture. He was on the beach in his bathing suit and a tan, and it worked.
Amen.
He lived 6 years after that.
Yes. Glory
and,
to God.
As we were going over this, I thought, oh, Lord, I got to get that oomph back again, that determination back again. You know, sometimes you get off track after you live a long time. You see a lot of things, and you experience a lot of things. You get kind of lukewarm. So just rehearsing that story was like, yeah, I got to be more like that. I was like that, but I got to stir it up.
Amen.
Do you know what I mean?
Glory to God. That's good preaching, honey. Thank you. Come on, let's let her know. We appreciate it. Spend time in His Word, because His Word will inspire you and give you the dream or the vision that you need. You know, 16% of the people never write down their vision. 3% wrote it down but didn't implement it. And only 1% have dreams. They wrote it down and periodically reviewed it. And these people are the millionaires of today. That's right. They interviewed Charles Schwab and Heffron Tillotson and some of those and interviewed them, and they all said they had clearly defined goals. They did what Habakkuk 2:2 said, write the vision, make it plain, so that you can implement in the years you have left on the earth. You know, the Bible tells you the number of your days. All right? I'm going for 25 more years. I want to be a centenarian. All right? So what am I going to do in those 25 years? I'm going to put it in B for book and continue.
Amen.
Press ahead for the prize, for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, praise Him for it. Let's stand today. Thank you. I'll tell you what, my son, he sees things. All around the church, he sees things. He is a visionary. And then we bring him to pass. We looked at all these baptism tanks, and they were like $2,500, $3,000 and stuff, and he had a vision. He went to Tractor Supply online and found this. This is from a farm. I mean, this is brand new, but talk much less. Cut the top off of it, and we got us.
The idea is from Pinterest.
Oh, here, take this.
Yeah, I'm not super creative. I just got the idea from Pinterest. I have to be honest.
Yeah. God is so good. And listen, today, start to call things that be not as though they were. Romans 4:17. Believe God for your situation. Here comes my wife again. Go right ahead.
I'll tell another story on him. When he went to Rhema, he took guitar lessons and singing lessons. And I don't want to tell you what the teacher told him. That he didn't have a voice to sing, and he probably would never be able to do whatever. Oh, boy, did that stir something in us. Same thing happened when he was in the Christian school, when he wanted to go to a Bible college and not a secular college. Daddy wrote a letter to that teacher. So how dare you undermine my son's faith
or
to be
vision,
in the ministry?
His dream, yeah.
And look what the Lord has done.
Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him as we go. Listen, you out there, I want you to pray this prayer with me today. Say, Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I receive Him as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, that I'm forgiven. I'm washed in the blood. My past is past at last. I'm a new creation. Born again. And I love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. If you prayed that prayer and meant it in your heart, you're a child of God, born again. And let's worship Him as we go today.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, please visit wordalivechurch.info.